Good afternoon, and welcome to Backtracks in Time. I'm Jack Sensabaugh, and today my guest is Betsy Jacks, Executive Director of the Thomas Cole House on Spring Street in Catskill. And so welcome, Betsy.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, okay, my pleasure. So, why don't we just start? How long have you been Executive Director?
Just over 13 years.
Oh, okay. How did you get involved with the Cole House?
Well, I had been living in New York City and working in the museum field, but fell in love with this area and really wanted to move to the Mid-Hudson Valley area, and so started looking for jobs in the museum field and found several opportunities in the area, Albany, Columbia County, Greene County. But this position at the Thomas Cole Historic Site was irresistible because I could run the place myself.
And well, that's always good.
How fun would that be? Yeah. So I jumped at the chance, and it's been a wonderful experience for me ever since.
Super. And it must feel good to have the freedom like that.
It is. It's great. And before coming up here, I worked at the Whitney Museum of American Art in New York City. And I learned a lot from that incredible place and the incredibly talented staff there. But of course, it's an enormous bureaucracy, and I'm not allowed to implement every idea that comes into my head.
I see.
So I had a lot of pent up ideas that I was ready to roll with.
It appears to have paid off too, because so much has gone on, and we'll get into that in the show. So much has gone on with the house over the years. Now, Thomas Cole himself, what? Can you give us a little background on him? What brought him to Catskill? And because he wasn't really didn't live in the house for a great number of years, I don't think.
Well, you're right. He actually grew up in England originally. And he was there until he was 17 years old, and he came to the U.S. with his family at that time. Moved around a bit. His father kept starting and failing businesses, and so they moved from Philadelphia to Ohio, New York. And Thomas Cole, at a relatively early age, knew he wanted to be an artist and found a funder in New York City who could fund his first trip up the Hudson River to this area. And that was in 1825. Cole made this voyage and was incredibly struck by the beauty of this area, the mountains. The area around what is now Catskill Park in Greene County was a revelation to him. And so he went back to New York City with his sketchbook full of sketches and created these paintings that started the first American art movement. And it was a big moment in American art, and an even bigger moment for Thomas Cole. It was a great discovery for him. He was, quote-unquote, discovered, made newspapers across the country. This young artist has done in a moment what we have been waiting for. I mean, it was just, you know, they pumped him up to suit their own purposes, but it suited Thomas Cole's purposes as well. He was launched as an artist.
From one trip up the river, that's incredible that time. Now, he wasn't the original resident of the house. He did not construct it.
That's right.
Somebody else.
The Thomas Cole House now in Catskill was built in 1815. And as I just mentioned, Thomas Cole's first trip to the area was in 1825. Yeah. So he visited Catskill during that first trip, but went back to New York City where he was living at the time, and then made subsequent visits to Catskill every summer and started to befriend the owner of the Thomas Cole National Historic Site as we know it now, but it was known then as Cedar Grove. And he started renting studio space there, and then fell in love with a young lady who lived in the house and married her and moved in. So it became his permanent home starting in 1836.
I see. I know he passed away, I believe, in 1848. So
yes, he was only 47 years old when he died.
Yikes. I don't want to think about it too much because I have a birthday in September. that age. Anyway, now, I'm surmising this, that the original owner of the house, I believe, was John Thompson.
There were two Thompson brothers who built the house.
Okay.
Yep. And they built it in 1815, and then one of the brothers died. So by the time Thomas Cole was involved, there was just one brother. And he unfortunately, his business went bankrupt shortly thereafter. And so the family that Thomas Cole married into never had a substantial amount of money after that.
Exactly. Now, I believe a couple of the streets nearby might come from that. I know there's a Thompson Street right nearby.
Yes, yes.
And Cole's wife was Maria Bartow.
And there's a Bartow Street.
I'm assuming, I think that's a safe assumption. Usually assuming it means something else, but I'm a safe bet. I think that's right. And just for my listeners, this house is right literally in my neck of the woods. I could probably walk to it in about 2 minutes from where I live.
So you know,
I'm not
going to
give my personal address over the air. Don't worry. But yeah, I've always thought about that. Now, Cole influenced quite a few of other artists. I mean, this started the art movement, the Hudson River School.
Yes, as it came to be known later. Yeah. Well, when Cole first started painting landscapes, it was not a well-established tradition in America to paint the way Thomas Cole was painting. If people wanted to make a living as an artist, you would generally paint portraits. Mm-hmm. A wealthy person would most want a picture of themselves. Right. But Thomas Cole had this idea that he could be a landscape painter, but it was decades later before this became a phenomenon and there was a real demand for these landscape paintings, and other artists started getting in on the act. So yes, he started this art movement in America that we now know as the Hudson River School. Mm-hmm. That name was first came into usage many, many years later.
I see. Now, who were some of the his proteges of his?
Well,
one particularly well-known one, but
yes, there's the best known one in this neck of the woods is Frederick Church, and he was introduced to the Hudson River Valley by Thomas Cole. Church came here from his home of Hartford, Connecticut, as a young man and started studying under Thomas Cole as his pupil. So in one fateful day, Thomas Cole brought Frederick Church to a hill on the Columbia County side of the river, and they hiked up to the top of this hill and saw a sweeping view of the Hudson River Valley. And many years later, Frederick Church came back there and bought it and made his home.
And everybody, I think, knows that as Olana.
Now known as Olana.
It's funny. For years, my listeners know this, I've been volunteering down at the Freightmasters Museum building at Catskill Point. And a lot of visitors will come in and they'll say, we were driving across the bridge and some kind of castle up on the hill there. What is that?
Yes.
I have to tell them what it is and show them out the back window. And then the Hudson River School, when I mention that, I've had people come in and say, where is this Hudson River School of Art? And I have to explain that it's not an actual physical school.
Yes, we get that
art
too.
Movement. Yeah. Well, I can see if somebody doesn't know. That's a logical question. So
yeah, in museums and art history lectures and such, we use the term school to mean a style of art, a group of people who practice in a similar way, and it's just a useful term to mean
school of thought or something. But
exactly.
So now, how many generations lived in that house, of Cole's family?
Well, many. And it was, it's unusual in that it stayed in the Cole family and never was sold. No one else ever lived there. So the Cole family descendants lived right there until the 1970s, when it was finally sold out of family ownership. But the last remaining person to live in the house just passed away a year or two ago. But she has descendants, and so the Cole lineage goes on.
Oh, that's great. Now, I know a lot of projects have been done over the years at the house. I mean, since it's been open to the public. Now, what were some of those? I know one of the big ones was the renovation, reconstruction of Cole's new studio.
Yes. Well, so at the site, we have three main buildings.
Okay.
And the house is this brick federal era house. It's a beautiful architectural creation. And directly across the lawn is what we call the old studio, which was built in 1839. And it looks like a barn. But inside it was where Thomas Cole created many of his best known masterpieces. So we've outfitted the inside just as if he had walked out a few moments earlier with his easels and tools, etc. And then on the other way across the lawn, there was this beautiful building built in 1846 that was very stylish for the time. It was an Italianate style building. So very different than the barn-like studio. This one had panache, if you will.
Yeah.
And Thomas Cole designed it himself. But unfortunately, it was demolished in the 1970s. So we thought this was something that really ought to be reversed. So we did some research, a lot of research, and did archaeology to locate the original foundation that was still in the ground.
Sure.
So we could find the exact spot where this building stood. Because it was completely gone. There was just a patch of scrub brush and bushes and small trees where it used to be. So we were delighted to have a successful capital campaign, and New York State came in with a nice chunk, so that put us over the top, and we now have this magnificent reconstruction.
Yes, it is beautiful. I saw the construction going up. You know, I take walks in the area, Hudson Avenue, which is right adjacent to it. Now, talking about demolishing buildings now, I used to go to presentations about historic, local history presentations by our former town historian, late town historian, Betty Larson.
Oh, yes.
And one of the ones she gave, one of her presentations, she mentioned that Catskill's idea of redevelopment in the 60s and 70s was to tear down an old building and put up a parking lot, you know? And I know, I think it was 1974 or 73 when the studio came down, if I recall correctly from what I've read. And I think that's also the same year that the Saulpaw Hotel on Main Street was demolished too, yeah. That'll be another show. Maybe I'll do that.
It was a very dangerous time, really all across the country for beautiful old buildings because a preservation movement hadn't really got very far, gotten underway. And so buildings everywhere were unfortunately lost during that period.
And just before we went on the air, I was talking with Betsy, and a building, now buildings, I think groups get together and try to save them if they realize they're going to be torn down for whatever reason. Maybe 40 years ago, 40, 50 years ago, people weren't doing that. But back in 2002, when the big county office building on Main Street was constructed, several Main Street buildings came down. I remember that, Newberry's and so forth. And that was fine. And I know the legislature wanted to take some more down for parking, kind of like where there's a Pilates studio now and another cafe. And a grassroots group got together to save those buildings, and they did. But one of the ones I did not realize was going to come down was the original St. Luke's Church on Church Street, where Thomas Cole was a parishioner, and he had designed that building.
Yeah.
And I did not know that was going to come down. I was telling Betsy before the show, I walked down Church Street one Sunday morning and saw this, you know, the pile of rubble. I knew a Cumberland Farms was coming down. Nobody cared about that. And I'm looking at this pile of rubble, and I'm saying, something's missing here. And then I realized what else was going on, and I thought, oh, my gosh. I don't think a lot of people realize that one of the buildings that was to come down was one designed by Cole. I think a bigger stink would have been raised. I don't know.
I know.
It's just a thought on my part.
It was before I was involved with the Thomas Cole Historic Site. Yeah. And I think it was certainly unfortunate. Thomas Cole built and designed very few buildings. The new studio that we just reconstructed is one of them. And this church in the heart of Catskill was another one. Yeah. Little known fact, Thomas Cole designed the Ohio State Capitol building. So that's another example of his architectural work.
Okay.
But yes, this church was there until very, very recently. So tantalizingly recently.
Yeah. I know it had been used for other uses over the years. Automobile shop, dance hall, Daily Mail newspaper offices.
Yes.
That was its last use. And then I know we're digressing, but it's just things that we do so much better at preserving things now. Now, at one time, the Cole House itself, many years ago, was in danger of demolition.
Yes, the Rip Van Winkle Bridge was constructed in the 1930s, and its original approach on the Greene County side was to go right through what is now the main house of the Thomas Cole National Historic Site. And if you look at the view of the bridge approach from above, you'll see it slants off quite dramatically to the right as you approach the Greene County side. Well, it was diverted And a lot of people have claimed credit for this, so I'm sure I'll give them all credit, because it takes often many more voices than one to save a building, and it was preserved at that time.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. There's a book that came out in 2006 when the Catskill Village had its bicentennial, and it's called Village. It was put together by Richard Philp. And so if you're listening, Richard, thank you. And it describes the property or land around the coal house. It used to be fruit orchards, and probably going across Spring Street, I think there was a barn where the gas station is.
Right.
And fruit orchards on the bridge approaches now. And yeah, he mentions, what would Cole think if he could see this now? You got the automobile junkyard, you got a pizza parlor and a few other businesses there. You know?
Well, the original property was about 100 acres. So it went all the way to the Hudson River on the east side of the property, and then went down to a creek on the west border of the property. So it was a substantial piece at that time, and the village was much farther down the hill. So the Catskill Village had not come up the hill and around where it is now. That was really out in the countryside. So it was a very different feel at that time. I've seen photographs from the 1930s when the bridge was put in, the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. They took photographs to document what the area looked like before construction. And it really felt very rural. It was not a village yet right around that area. You mentioned how horrified would Thomas Cole be. I think actually he would be quite encouraged, though, by some things that are happening. For example, he absolutely adored the area that where Catterskill Falls is located, and what we now call Catterskill Clove, and where the Catskill Mountain House Hotel was, that whole region up there that's now preserved in the New York State Constitution as forever wild. In Cole's time, that area was already being developed. There were the hotels, of course. But in addition to that, Catterskill Falls had a staircase built alongside it and kind of what we would call a refreshment stand at the top. And now those kinds of things are gone. And so there has been some progress in ways that I think Thomas Cole would have liked to see.
Yeah, you're right. I think he would. And I know, it was named Forever Wild. And my dad, he was a forester for Department of Environmental Conservation. And he'd be glad to, I think he was glad to see that go to Forever Wild.
Yes.
Because he loved the outdoors and stuff. But anyway, so we mentioned, I know we digressed a little bit, but that's okay. Where have been some of the other projects over the years besides the new studio?
Well, the first major undertaking was to restore the main house. And it's a brick structure from 1815. And by the 1990s, it was in terrible, terrible condition. Yeah. People around here remember it was held up by scaffolding on one side, and the roof was leaking all the way through all three floors pooling up water in the basement. And anyway, really some thought perhaps too far gone to save. Mm-hmm. And the Greene County historian, Ray Beecher, at the time, led the charge to save that house at the time. So that was the first major project, was let's prevent this house from falling down, get it open to the public. And then in 2004, we took on the old studio building, which is this charming barn-like building that was Cole's original studio on the property, the studio that still stands. And so that was restored in 2004.
Okay.
And then a favorite building on the site is the smallest one, which is the Privy. Yes.
That was actually restored?
Yes, it was. It's a fancy name for an outhouse.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful little building, actually. People ask all the time, what is that pretty little building? So we say, well, that's technically a three-holer. It has three spots. Right. So that's always a popular spot. Stop on the tour.
I bet. you have open houses. Leave it open for use.
We actually had to put a sign on it saying, please do not use.
people would actually think to do that.
Is it
sad when you have to put a sign like that, really? Oh, my gosh. But I understand that, you know, when Beecher gave that, it create some of the other, what were some of the other grants or foundations that gave grants?
Oh, gosh.
And I think he started with $100,000 of his own money, I believe.
Well, yes, at that time, the Greene County Historical Society decided that they would, this is back in the late 1990s, that they would purchase the property and restore it and run it as a museum, but they needed the funding to buy it. That's where Ray stepped in and provided the funding.
And it just came from there, other groups, organizations gave, or?
Actually, there was, again, New York State stepped in. There was a grant from New York State to help restore the property. And New York State required a substantial match for their money. So Ray approached the woman who lived across the street, Helen McCord, and she then donated her house as a match for this grant.
Wow.
So that's an incredible gift.
That was very, very generous.
Yes.
So now there's some current projects that are going on in the house. The parlors?
The parlors. We just opened this new experience on May 1st, and it's something a little different. We knew that we wanted to restore the interior of the main house because originally, when it opened in 2001, they had restored the exterior. It had been the roof, the paint, the walls, everything had been restored so that it was in good physical shape. But the interiors, really, no one knew what they had looked like in Thomas Cole's time because there were no photographs from 1836.
Sure.
Photography had not been invented. And so there was little evidence of the original decor. What was on the walls? What was on the floors? What furniture was in the room? What were the rooms used for?
Yeah.
People didn't know. Was this the dining room? Or people thought that maybe the dining room was downstairs. A bedroom was thought to be a sitting room and a sitting room a bedroom. And, it, you know, no one really knew. So we undertook a lot of research. We hired this wonderful woman named Jean Dunbar. And we call her the forensic decorator. Because she could find out what was there.
Every little detail.
She has ways. So she wrote a detailed and lengthy furnishings and finishes report for the house showing what all the rooms were for, what was in the rooms, and we did all kinds of paint analysis to find out what the original walls were, were covered in or colored. So we found out, and then we had to, of course, implement it.
Right.
So the parlors is a reopening of these, the first floor rooms as they looked in Thomas Cole's time. But we felt like, as amazing as that is, we wanted to go further. We wanted to, instead of creating a historic house standard experience where you have these beautiful parlors and you have everybody stand behind a velvet rope.
Speaking of Alana. Yeah.
Well, that, you know, they have an incredible experience too. So I in no way want to knock that.
No.
But because we had the flexibility, we figured, let's do something a little different here. How about if we invite people to come in and sit down in the parlors? And what if we employed some technology to help with the storytelling? We're kind of in a unique position because we're not owned by the state. We're not owned by the federal government. We have a lot of flexibility as to what we can do. So we created this, like we call it, an immersive experience where we have the original decor that has been restored and these technological exhibits that tell the stories of what happened in the rooms.
Oh, that's great. I know you have a famous voice there that's being used for that, but I may just identify the show. You are listening to Backtracks in Time. I'm Jack Sensabaugh, and my guest today is Betsy Jacks, Executive Director of the Thomas Cole House, or Cedar Grove, on Spring Street in Catskill. And we are discussing some of the current renovation projects going on at the house. And one is the parlors being renovated. And Betsy was telling us about an immersive experience. They have a famous voice doing some of this narration.
Yes. Well, in one of the parlors, we decided that we would have the paintings come to life. So my daughter's reading Harry Potter series. So she says, Mom, the paintings move? I said, well, actually, they kind of do. So we created these screens on the walls that appear to be paintings when you first walk in.
Oh, my gosh.
And then through projections, they do start to move. And a voice comes on that tells the story of how Thomas Cole felt about these paintings, what he wanted to do with his life, his passions, his ambitions. And to, of course, we couldn't get Thomas Cole to play the part. So,
but if you could do that, well, you're good.
Yeah, we couldn't. We couldn't get Cole himself. So we, but we had a wonderful actor, Jamie Bell, and he's best known for his part in Billy Elliot as Billy Elliot. Yeah. And he's now 30 years old and did a fantastic job of being Thomas Cole. It's it was a really great fit because Jamie Bell is from the part of England that Thomas Cole is from.
Okay.
So we were thrilled, and he did a wonderful job. We composed this presentation using only Thomas Cole's words from his letters and journals, and so you hear Thomas Cole expressing his own view, and then you are seeing the paintings that he's talking about. So people who have seen it have said that they feel like they've got to know a side of him that they didn't know before.
Wow. How did somebody like Jamie Bell get to hear about that this was going on in the first place?
Well,
hear
we,
about, you know,
yeah,
play,
we lucked out.
This place
out.
A little Catskill, New York. You
know? It's amazing who is tucked in, hidden away in all the houses in the Hudson Valley. Mm-hmm. Really incredibly connected people. And we are fortunate enough to have Jamie Bell's agent with a house in Athens, New York.
Really?
And a supporter of ours. So when he found out about this project, he said, I have just the guy. I know who to ask. He said, I think Jamie Bell would be perfect. And he asked him, and he said yes. And we did a recording. We got Jamie into a recording studio in L.A., and I was on the phone listening to the recording session. And I said, oh my God, this is perfect. This guy nailed it. It was very exciting.
That was great. Now, you mentioned that when you walk into the parlors, it looks like appears to have paintings on the walls that, you know, then come to life. Now, speaking of artwork on the walls, something was discovered under many years of modern paint.
Yes, this was another really thrilling moment. We did paint analysis when we were trying to figure out the original decor of those rooms. And paint analysis means we hired this man who can dig down very carefully using solvents and dental tools to pick away at the modern layers of paint until you get to the layer that you're interested in.
Okay.
So because the house was built in 1815, we were interested in the layer that was there when Thomas Cole moved in 1836.
Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily the original finish on the walls. And so this wonderful man, Matthew Mosca, is able to take samples from the wall and put it under a microscope and look at each layer of paint over the last couple of centuries.
Incredible.
Analyze the chemical makeup of each layer, and because of his knowledge of painting chemistry, determine the age of each layer and the original color. So it's amazing science, very specific science for historic house paint analysis.
Now, so I guess when I first read about it, so the artwork that was on the wall, there was artwork on the walls then.
Well, so what happened was we were trying to find out the original color of the parlor. What color was this wall?
Sure.
What he found out was that it was not a solid color. There was hand painting on the wall.
Oh, my gosh.
So right up near the ceiling of both parlors on the main floor, he found these borders that include stenciling, hand painting, and these original designs that no one even knew were there.
When I first read that, first of all, I thought it was artwork from Cole himself, and it wasn't, apparently. But who in the world, I have to wonder, who was the first person who had the brilliant idea to paint over that? Really?
I know. Well, actually, first of all, we found that with all the evidence that we've collected, that this was designed and executed by Thomas Cole. So he came up with the design for these borders.
Oh, he did? Okay.
And the brush marks that are there are his.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so it was of Thomas Cole's own design. And as far as who would paint over them, well, the first thing that happened was they were wallpapered over. So this was probably, we think, 40 or 50 years after Thomas Cole died. Somebody wallpapered over that the parlors. And then decades after that, someone pulled off the wallpaper and painted. So by that time, surely they had forgotten who had done this and why it mattered.
Right. Oh, my goodness. That would be a surprising find, though.
Well,
what's
it was
under here?
It was an astounding find, and nobody had any idea that there was this painting on the walls. It was hidden under a century of modern paint, and really, we just were so fortunate that it had never been destroyed, because many times when people renovate an old house, they do demolish the plaster of the walls because it's gotten too crumbly, and it's very hard to keep it up. Sure. But we were just incredibly fortunate that no one demolished the plaster of these walls.
How hard is it to remove all those modern layers of paint over these last couple hundred years without damaging that artwork that's under there?
It's a very specialized task, of course. And
just going with a scraper?
Yeah, exactly. That would be a bad approach. So Matthew Mosca, who originally discovered them, came up with a very detailed method for getting to that last layer without removing it. And he communicated that to a local woman, very accomplished. We're very lucky that she lives right here in Hudson, Margaret Siliski.
Okay.
And she had done work restoring the stenciled patterns on the walls at Olana. And she's done work all across the country on these decorative painted finishes. So she worked with Matthew, and they came up with this method where they first do some physical removal using very tiny dental tools. Then they go back. She goes back with solvents, very gradually removing layers until finally getting to that last final one.
That's painstaking work.
It was a slow process, but we've now uncovered the entire border in both parlors, so that the border goes around the perimeter of both rooms, and they've all been fully revealed.
That's wonderful. That's incredible.
It's really,
as Joel Show said,
we couldn't believe it was hiding there this whole time.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So now, what are some of the other projects there? I'm sure there's other things in the pipeline.
Well, there's in the other parlor across the hall. I mentioned in the first parlor, the paintings come to life and tell a story.
Yes.
And in the parlor across the hall, the west parlor, we have letters on the tables that come to life and tell a story using technology, using the projections. So in that parlor, there are three hidden stories, and at three different stations around the room, where the letters and the correspondence between Thomas Cole and several of his patrons are brought to life. And that argument back and forth between Cole and his patron is explained, and a little snippet of their conversation is revealed.
Wow. I think Cole would be impressed with all of this if he could be here now and see what can be done. So it sounds like this house is in very good shape. And now, where is the schedule? Where are the upcoming events at the house, or a regular schedule of hours and so forth?
Yeah, so the house is open from Tuesday through Sunday.
Okay.
And also, most of that time it's by guided tour, so you can purchase tickets online or just come to the visitor center and come on in.
Okay.
But on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we also have a way of visiting the site that is called Explore at Your Own Pace.
Oh.
So we station guides and in the rooms of all the buildings, and then you can just come and go. So you buy your ticket, and you could stay for 5 minutes, you could stay for 3 hours, whatever you like. So that's on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 2 to 4 in May. And starting in June, it'll be from 2 to 5.
Okay.
Starting in June.
And I believe you have a Sunday salon series?
Well, in the wintertime, we do have a lecture series.
Okay.
We've just finished that up. But from January through April, we have monthly lectures.
Sorry.
Yep. And then at the end of June, June to the 24th, that mm-hmm. Saturday, mm-hmm. we have our annual summer party.
Okay.
So that's a fun time to yeah. get involved as well.
Great. Well, is there anything else we should know about Thomas Cole or the house?
Well, there is another aspect of him sure. that we didn't Please. Touch upon, but okay. I think people do find particularly interesting.
Okay.
Is
I'm sure
that,
our listeners would.
is that he's often considered the first to express views about the preservation of the landscape.
Okay.
And so that's a big part of the message that we portray at the site, in the parlors exhibit, in the tours, in our materials, is that Thomas Cole was very concerned about the changes taking a place in the landscape mm-hmm. all around us. We touched upon this earlier with
yeah.
his desire to see the Catskill Mountains in their sort of wild, untouched state.
Yeah.
People are often kind of amazed that even back then in the 1830s and 1840s, there was this great disruption of the land, and it was being changed quite dramatically.
Wow. Yeah, that's just the beginning of what they call progress.
Yes.
that's going to be debatable.
Yeah, in Thomas Cole's time, they called it improvement.
Improvement. Okay. So, well, thank you very much, Betsy, for your time here.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
And hopefully our audience has learned more about Thomas Cole and the house. And if it's something they would like to come and visit, we have given the hours and the events coming up. You have been listening to Backtracks in Time. I'm Jack Sensabaugh. My guest today has been Betsy Jacks, the executive director of the Thomas Cole House, Cedar Grove, on Spring Street in the village of Catskill. For the rest of this broadcast, you will be hearing some music, musical selections that would have been popular at the time Cole was around in the early 1800s, some classical selections. And for those of you with a sharp ear and memory, the same selections that I used when I did the show about the Beatty Powers house back in February.
On the banks of Newfoundland,
we'll scrape her and we'll scrub her with holy stone in sand. For there blows some cold nor'westers on the banks of Newfoundland.
We had Jack Lynch from Ballina. Thank you.
spare that tree. Touch not a single bough. In youth it sheltered me, and I'll brought.
Sunday go to meeting and I'll take you by the hand. If you will be my dancing partner, we will dance to beat the band. So join the promenade and lead the big parade. And if you don't get home out of...
Bene, tell a delay, barricade to me. Santa Lucia, Santa Lucia.
Dashing through the snow, doo-doh. In a one-horse open sleigh,
doo-day.
O'er the fields we go,
doo-doh.
Laughing all the way,
doo-day. Bells on bobtail ring, making our spirits bright.
What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Camp Town ladies sing this song.
Doodah,
doodah. The Camp Town racetrack 5 miles long.
Oh, doodah day.
I come down there with my hat caved in.
Doodah, doodah.
I go back home with a pocket full of tin.
Oh, doodah day.
Wind around all night, wind around all day. I bet my money on the bobtail nag. Somebody bet on the bay. The long tail filly and the big black.
Hanging around and through that crowd. called out loud, "Won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home?" She moans the whole day long, "I'll do the cooking, darling."
In the good old summer time, in the good old summer time, roaming through the shady lanes with your baby mine, you hold her hand and she holds yours, and that's the best.
Oh, loving you and loving you through, and if you will love me.
High-flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heart beats true on the red, white, and blue, where there's never...
You can do. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame.
Has anybody here seen Kelly? K-E-double-L-Y. Has anybody here seen Kelly? Find him if you can. He's as bad as old and...
No time. Time to stay outdoors and spoon. So shine on, harvest moon for me and my God.
Meet me tonight in dreamland under the silvery moon. Meet me tonight in dreamland.
Ain't you going to the leader man, ragged leader man? Oh my honey, let me take you to Alexander's grandstand, red band.
Turn on your light, Mr. Moonman. Go and hide your face behind the crowd. Can't you see the couple calling Moonman? Company and
freeze a crowd. It's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary, to the sweetest girl I know.
Twist around with all of your might. Stretch your muffin arms straight out in space. Then you do the eagle rocker with a style and grace. Swing your foot way round and bring it back. Now that's what I call falling the jack.
You made me love you. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made the time you knew it.
Thank you for joining me today, and please join me for the next edition of Backtracks in Time on Tuesday, June 27th at 2 p.m. here on WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you and have a great day.